And welcome into the Anything Goes Wednesday edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. We've got a new website address. It's very simply DougRussellPod.com. Still, you can find us on our socials as well, Twitter and Instagram at Doug Russell Pod, Facebook and YouTube, search for the Doug Russell Podcast, and email us, DougRussellPod@gmail.com. Today, we're hitting the Wayback Machine and then bringing it into the present day with the news the Bucks are bolstering their roster with a twofold set of goals. Number one, to get Giannis to sign his Supermax extension, and two, to bolster the roster for a legitimate NBA Finals run. The Supermax, by the way, $228 million over 5 years. He has until December 21st in which to sign that deal. So the clock is ticking for the Bucks and their two-time defending NBA MVP. But I always think it's instructive to go back to where it all began.
With the 15th pick in the 2013 NBA draft, the Milwaukee Bucks select Giannis Adetokounmpo.
The late David Stern presiding over his final NBA draft. Now, before that moment, Stern spent several nervous minutes poring over Giannis's pronunciation, the last name, Adetokounmpo. We all did. But it was a done deal. Giannis was in New York. The Bucks took him at number 15. Bucks fans were mostly confused because none of us had ever heard of Giannis Adetokounmpo. Most of the NBA was fleeced, and the Atlanta Hawks were fuming because they were the only other team that wanted Giannis as badly, but not badly enough to trade up for him. That would prove to be their folly. To be sure, this was a wretched draft, and I would also invite you to go check out Adrian Wojnarowski's podcast, The Woj Pod, because he has a three-part series, what he calls the Giannis draft, and it's very enlightening. But the number one overall pick of the 2013 NBA draft was a complete bust, Anthony Bennett to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Victor Oladipo to Orlando, that eventually turned out to be a very good pick. Oladipo's been an all-star now with the Indiana Pacers. But then it went clearly in the tank. At number three, Otto Porter Jr. to Washington. Cody Zeller at number four, Alex Len to the Phoenix Suns, followed by Nerlens Noel, Ben McLemore, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Trey Burke, C.J. McCollum, future now former Buck Michael Carter-Williams, your rookie of the year, by the way, in the 2013-2014 season. He went to Philadelphia. Then Steven Adams, Kelly Olynyk, and then Shabazz Muhammad. Those were the players that were taken ahead of Giannis Antetokounmpo. And the only player that was taken of note after Giannis was Rudy Gobert. He was an absolute steal for Utah in a draft day trade with Denver. And not many knew about Rudy Gobert, obviously, one of the best players in the NBA, certainly one of the best defensive players in the league as well, coming out of France. So that was the 2013 NBA draft. It was terrible. Draft night, Giannis, all 18 years of him, was in New York City shaking the commissioner's hand. The next day, he was at the Bradley Center shaking mine. First of all, welcome to Milwaukee. Welcome. Is it welcome to Milwaukee or welcome to the United States? This is your first time in the United States.
Yes. It's my first time in the United States. Maybe it's the third time that I lived in Greece. I feel very excited to be in the United States, see New York, and I'm very happy to be here.
Do you know anything about Milwaukee as a city yet, or is it completely a totally new experience for you?
I don't know many things, but I'm going to learn everything, you know. Day by day, I'm going to learn everything. When I come here in Milwaukee, with my family, we're going to learn everything.
Tell me about your family. Tell me about, you know, your upbringing, not just learning the game of basketball, but what they will mean to you coming over here as you learn your way through an entirely new culture.
First of all, we're going to have a better life, you know, coming here from Greece. My brother will go to better school, you know. My father maybe going to get a job, anything he want, you know. It'd be very nice because my parents have maybe 24 years to leave the country too. It'd be nice.
How proud does it make you to be able to build this life through your play, your talents, for your entire family, who provided for you through, you know, some leaner years?
I'm very proud about myself, you know, because we passed a very difficult moment, a difficult life in the past, and I think my parents are very proud about me, my brothers too, and I hope in the continuing of our life, it'd be nice, you know, in Milwaukee.
As far as your English, it's better than I thought it would be. It's pretty good. When did you start learning the language?
I started maybe a year ago. No, but I gotta improve, you know. Lars, I gotta improve a lot. But I will do it. You see me in the next 2 months, I'll be better.
Final thing for you. What are you looking forward to most coming over to Milwaukee, coming over to the United States? Is there anything that you can't wait to do more than anything else as a basketball player, as a person?
First of all, I will travel all America to see all the states, for sure. And I will go maybe to all the beaches, you know, to see the museum, to see the White House. Everything, for sure, everything.
You win a championship, the president invites you to the White House. Did
yeah,
you know that?
Yeah, I know that. We're going to win a championship. We're going to win for sure. I'm ready. I'm going to win for sure.
My very first interview with Giannis Antetokounmpo. And boy, I tell you what, the amount of growth that has happened for him since then can't be overstated. He's grown physically. He's grown in his maturity. Obviously, his English has gotten a lot better as well. And he's also now a two-time NBA MVP. But we're going to win a championship. We're going to win a championship. That's what he left me with. And that's the impression that he has given to NBA fans, Bucks fans, his teammates, as well as Bucks brass. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. That's what his goal was and remains. All right, moving along. Then Bucks general manager John Hammond. He likes to tell a story about how he was walking down the street in New York with Rod Thorne a few years ago. At the time, he was a special assistant. Thorne was for the Bucks, but he had also been the general manager of the Bulls and Nets. Rod Thorne also worked in the NBA office for many years as well. So a man approached Thorne on the street and asked him, "Are you the man that drafted Michael Jordan?" "Why, yes, I am," Thorne replied. The man said, "May I just shake your hand as the man who drafted Michael Jordan?" Rod Thorne obviously obliged. This was pre-COVID. You could still shake hands at the time. So a couple of moments later, when the man had left, Rod Thorne turned to John Hammond and predicted that he, Hammond, would get that same treatment someday as the man who drafted Giannis. Less than 24 hours, though, after he did, I spoke with him.
Is this the first time that you've met Giannis in person?
First time I've ever had a chance to speak with him before yesterday, draft day. You know, we're not legally allowed to speak with players that are not draft eligible. So had a chance to spend a couple days with him in Greece, but couldn't officially speak to him at that time.
He's an unknown to the rest of us, obviously. He's been on your radar for quite some time. What is it about, not necessarily his game in and of itself, but some of the X factors, some of the personality things that make you believe that he's going to hit?
You know, I really believe the game is going to be the easy part for him because of his size, because of his skill set. But, you know, just watching him with his brother that's here, and the interesting thing to me, you know, spending 2 days with him in Greece was watching the interaction with the family, that he's practicing with his brother, his older brother, on the same team, and he has two other little brothers that are in the gym, running around the gym. And you can see this small gym that was their club gym in Athens. It was their home. It was their family. And next thing you know, on day two, I look up and I see the mother and father sitting in the stands. And I just thought, man, like, what a neat family group they have. And I can see the love that he has for his brother and his brother for him. You know, what replaces family? And he's got, I think, a great support group in them.
What can the organization do? I know that his family's coming over here to help ease his transition. I don't know if they'll become permanent United States residents. I don't know that they know that at this point. But what can the organization do to help ease that transition, not only for Giannis, but for the entire family?
We have a responsibility, you know, and I know that we'll do our very, very best, and I think we can do our job. I don't want to say it's easy because there is going to be responsibility, but I when we got in the car today, I said to Giannis, I said, doesn't it feel good to be here? Happy? And he said, yes. I said, you know what? It's our job to make you happy and stay happy, and it's your job to do it too. So, you know, it's not easy. It's not going to be easy for him. But, you know, I was shocked today. We picked him up at the Pfister, and the senator had a meeting in there. So Joanne Anton, his right-hand person, came out. And Joanne, I didn't realize, speaks fluent Greek. And next thing you know, we've got like a source like that. And they're, I said, hey, guys, let me tell you who she is to our organization and to our owner. And she starts speaking to them. They're like, oh, no, you know. So it's... I kind of thought when that happened, this was supposed to happen. It's supposed to be this way.
You've dealt with international players, obviously, throughout the course of your career in the NBA. Generally speaking, and I know every situation is different, I mean, how much of a culture shock is it for these guys who don't have that much experience with the United States?
It's difficult. It's very, very difficult, you know, Doug. And I think if this weren't going to happen, I don't want to say that we wouldn't have made the draft pick, but the fact that he was so adamant about his family coming with him, and we've got some issues to work through with that, with some immigration issues and things like that, but I think that can all be handled in due time. But you're right, I have been through these scenarios before with young players, and I don't want to keep saying the basketball being on the floor between the lines is the easy part. But to a certain extent, it will be. It's can he handle everything else that goes along with, you know, getting to the floor. And I think if his family is here with him and he has a proper support, we're going to do our part. I promise you that. And if his family supports him and he's comfortable here, he's got a chance to be special.
It's been said just kind of in the room that he comes maybe somewhat unencumbered that some other draft choices that are younger. You know, hasn't gone through AAU. He hasn't been poorly coached throughout the course of his career. Is he somewhat of a blank slate that you can, and Coach Drew and his staff can mold?
I think so. But, you know, he has a definite way of playing. His team, a very good coach, a very tough Greek coach who demanded his team have discipline. But I love their style of play. He played with a team that wide open style. Basically, all they did was they penetrate. They spread the floor, penetrate, pitch, kick, shoot out, shoot threes. They want, you know, they would be great. He would be like in the U.S. we're big on analytics right now, and his coach would be like the perfect analytics coach because he either wants the three-pointer or he wants the layup. So it's all about driving to the basket for the layup. If you don't have it, kick out for a three. So that's how he, I think, really developed this great feel and know-how and how to play the game, was playing for this coach. And then the second part is defensively, they play a lot of scramble defense. So not only does he know how to cover his own man, but he knows how to double team. He knows how to rotate out of situations like that. And I think that helps him on the defensive end, once again, in knowing how to play.
Final thing for you. What will it take for him to be a fan favorite here in Milwaukee?
I think just get on the floor. I think once he gets on the floor, I think people are going to really see what he is and the abilities that he has, the potential that he has. I think I've been around young guys like that before too, and fans get excited about that potential, and if it happens quickly, I think fans would get really excited.
How many times have you tried to pronounce his last name?
Last night, after the draft, about probably 11:30, I said to Dan, Dan Smichek, I said, Dan, can you forward that pronunciation to me? Yeah, so we're doing our best.
Bucks general manager John Hammond, the day after, just hours after drafting Giannis Antetokounmpo. So as we look back at Giannis before we can go ahead, I also think it's important to note exactly the condition the Bucks were in the summer of 2013. And it wasn't great. They had an old arena, a bad practice facility, years of futility, and an owner who thought that making it as the number 8 seed in the playoffs was a worthwhile goal to shoot for. This was about a week and a half after draft night 2013,
when I was the host of Wisconsin Sports Weekend on WTMJ Radio.
The Bucks, they signed a couple of players. O.J. Mayo, 3 years, $24 million. Zaza Pachulia agrees to a three-year, $15 million deal with the Bucks. Do either of these moves excite you? Probably not. Do either of these moves put the Bucks over the top? Absolutely not. What these moves are, at least for O.J. Mayo, it gives the Bucks a legitimate number two guard because they don't really have one right now because of the, I don't know if I'd call it a purge, but you knew that there was a possibility that none of the three that they had at the end of last season would be coming back. And certainly J.J. Redick wasn't coming back, so they spun him off and got two second-round draft choices in exchange for, in essence, nothing. Already Monte Ellis has opted out of his deal. The Bucks say they expected that to happen, and so it has happened. Brandon Jennings, a restricted free agent, and according to Charles Gardner in the Journal Sentinel, there has been no progress reported on any type of contract so far, but sometimes these things happen behind closed doors. And no matter what, the Bucks have the ability to match whatever offer Brandon Jennings may get, and he should go out there and see what, you know, just kind of look at what the market holds for him. I don't think he did any favors with his woeful performance in the first round of the playoffs against the Miami Heat. But nevertheless, if the Bucks can bring him back, it appears as though they are wanting to do exactly that. Larry Drew kind of sees something apparently in Brandon Jennings that he can mold. Now, what are the Bucks doing? And this is a question that I've gotten a lot over the course of the last, I don't know, 12 hours or so since the Zaza Pachulia signing was announced. Do I think that the Bucks are, and I hesitate to use this word, but it's one that gets thrown around a lot. Are the Bucks tanking for next year so they can go into the 2014 draft and try to get Andrew Wiggins? I don't think they're tanking next season, but I think they're trying to build something, and there's a specific timetable as to why they're going the route that they're going. You take a look at Giannis. I'm still working on how to pronounce his last name. We'll just call him Giannis. The first-round draft choice that they made last week at number 15. They don't want to use the word project. And I understand why they don't want to use the word project. The word project has a negative connotation, and I get why it has the negative connotation. It's like, oh, is this kid ever going to amount to anything? But here are the facts. In 2013, this year's draft, it was one of the weaker ones top to bottom that we've seen in a long time. I don't know that if you look at anybody in this draft, you're looking at any all-stars. But if there's one guy that has an opportunity to develop into an all-star, it might be Giannis. And that's not to say that it's guaranteed, because he's skinny. And he still needs to play against elite competition, which is something that he hasn't done. He needs to bulk up, certainly. And he needs to become more of a veteran professional NBA player. I mean, this is a kid who's only 18 years old. He's not going to be 19 until December, and he's not going to contribute. At least he's not going to be counted on, expected to contribute a lot to a playoff contending team that the Milwaukee Bucks hope to be coming up next season. But there's one thing that you can say about the Bucks selection of Giannis. It reminded me a lot of the selection that they made the year prior of John Henson. Now, John Henson is a little bit older. He's 22, but he's really skinny as well. And I saw him at the Larry Drew news conference, and he still hasn't put on a whole lot of bulk. But John Henson can play in this league. He did it in flashes last year. He didn't get that many reps last year as well. And, you know, the opportunities that he did get, I think he performed pretty darn well. So he's still a year or two away from being an impact player. Larry Sanders has been an impact player for exactly one season. The Bucks, I don't think, are looking at this upcoming year, especially with the way that the Eastern Conference kind of played out last year and how top-heavy it kind of seems to be right now. I don't think the Bucks are looking at next year as, well, we've got to make a big push because of the one thing that has been a hot-button topic in the community, not necessarily just with basketball fans, but that is the question of the new arena. Now, according to at least a couple of inside sources, the reason that we haven't seen a formal plan for a new arena yet, and you can say, well, I favor a new arena, I don't favor a new arena. Well, bottom line is, I don't know how anybody can favor anything that we haven't seen a plan for. It is something that this community is discussing. There is no question among those that know about the entire economic situation of the Bradley Center versus every other arena in the NBA, that the Bradley Center is nearing the end of its economic life and needs to be replaced one way or another. Now, the question is it going to be here in Milwaukee, or is it going to be somewhere else? Is it going to be Seattle, where they have a financing plan already in place? That's been discussed, and you know, I've made this statement, and I stand by it. In 10 years, the Milwaukee Bucks will not be playing in the Bradley Center. I hope they're playing in Milwaukee. I don't know if it's going to be here or somewhere else, but it's not going to be at the building that they currently occupy. That's just not going to happen. And people need to realize that. It's not going to be renovated. They're not going to put lipstick on a pig. They're not going to try to, make something into the Bradley Center that it isn't. It's the smallest arena footprint size in the NBA. It doesn't have any of the other bells and whistles of any of the other buildings that are currently open in the league. Think of the difference between County Stadium and Miller Park. County Stadium was open only when there was a game. Same thing with the Bradley Center. It's only open when there's a game. Here at Miller Park, you've got the Hot Corner, you've got Friday's Front Row Grill, you've got the team shops that are open year-round, and that's what the Bucks are kind of looking at, something that needs to be open year-round. It's a lot like Lambeau Field. Before they rebuilt the atrium, before it was a year-round destination, Lambeau Field was only open more or less. I mean, they had the team shop that was there, but that was really the only thing that you could do when there wasn't a game going on. And now Lambeau Field, they have weddings there. They are able to hold a multitude of events at that venue. And it's the same thing. I mean, that the Bucks need that they don't have the opportunity to have at the Bradley Center. But you're probably not going to see a whole lot of movement on anything, at least as far as a formal proposal for any kind of state or local dollars, until after the next gubernatorial election, which is in 2014. So if you can start building a team that can contend, and next year's draft, which is infinitely deeper than this year's draft, and you can get a good player next year in the draft while developing Giannis, while continuing to develop John Henson, you're really going to actually be able to build something that could contend and that could excite the fan base here in Milwaukee. That's what I think the Bucks are doing, and I don't think a whole lot of people are talking about the timeline for the replacement, the eventual replacement of the Bradley Center. But because it's such a political, hot potato, nobody really wants to deal with it until after we know who the next governor, maybe it'll be Scott Walker, maybe it will be someone else, but after that election, that's when I think you're going to see a lot of movement on not only the Bucks off the court, but on the court as well.
So that's where the Bucks were, July 7th, 2013, about a week and a half after they drafted Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I predicted for a couple of years that Giannis was either going to be a superstar or he was going to be a waste of time. And I think obviously we're all glad that he turned out to be the former as opposed to the latter. He develops, the Bucks get new owners, the Bucks then get new facilities. They then get a new surrounding cast. Giannis wins one MVP award and then another. There were some bumps along the way. Jabari Parker didn't pan out. Neither did Jason Kidd as coach. Neither did the 2019 NBA playoffs. They got, of course, bumped off by the Toronto Raptors and Kawhi Leonard in the Eastern Conference Finals. But the last 2 years, since the true emergence of Giannis, there's been this drumbeat that he needs to leave Milwaukee. This is a city that's not good for him, and having him here isn't good for the league. It's been nonstop for the last, again, almost 2 years. The thought being, the league needs superstar players to be in superstar cities. Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, even though, I mean, now it's the Nets and not the Knicks. The Knicks have been wretched for the better part of a quarter century. But the Brooklyn Nets, right now, the sexy team in New York. Miami, you've got South Beach. That's where Dwayne Wade played. That's where LeBron James played. Right now, it's where guys like Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero are playing. And they had a great run last year getting to the NBA Finals. Those are the cities you want to be in. L.A., San Francisco, New York, Miami. You don't want to be in Milwaukee. One of the loudest drum beats to that has been Fox Sports radio host Colin Cowherd. This is from his show this past February 26th.
Giannis is a star. We know Milwaukee does not attract free agents. It doesn't. It's like Utah. It's a great NBA franchise, but they don't attract free agents. Here's a rumor, and it's not a bad one, and I believe it to be true. The Warriors acquired Andrew Wiggins for one reason, to get Giannis. Remember, Wiggins makes a lot of money. In order to trade for Giannis, you have to have a huge salary. Wiggins makes a lot of money. They're also going to have the number one pick in the draft and Minnesota's pick, which will be a lottery pick. Can Milwaukee do better than Andrew Wiggins and two lottery picks? I'll say it again. The key to this league, because this would change the league if he goes to Golden State. It will change the league. You thought Durant and the Warriors were good. Durant gone. Giannis, Steph, Draymond, and Clay. No thank you. That you might as well just set your clock to those guys in the finals. If Chris Middleton for Milwaukee does what he did last year in the playoffs and shrinks, Giannis is gone. Winners want to hang out with winners. Stars want to hang out with stars. Belichick and Saban. Belichick has to go to college to find a guy he wants to hang out with. Saban's got to go to the pros to find a guy he wants to talk to. Winners hang out with winners. Last year, Chris Middleton, in that series against Toronto, had one game over 14 points. We know about the NBA. The refs, Joy and I talk about this, the refs swallow the whistle. The refs don't want to get in the way of the series. And so what happens in the NBA playoffs, guys who are not comfortable in that physical space, they shrink. James Harden shrinks. People play real defense, and the refs swallow the whistle. So James Harden doesn't get the call in the playoffs. He's a great player, but he's not as dominant in the playoffs. Paul George is a very talented player. Doesn't always like the physicality of it. Paul George shrinks in the playoffs. Now, Kawhi can be physical. LeBron can be physical. D. Wade, physical. Paul Pierce could be physical. The late Kobe could be physical. Shaq could be physical. Those guys don't shrink in the playoffs. The NBA playoffs, refs swallow whistles. It's a players and a stars league. Young guys shrink, and guys that don't like physicality shrink. Chris Middleton shrinks. Remember last year against Toronto? Milwaukee up 2-0, series over, game three wins, series over. Chris Middleton was 3-for-16. Evaporated. Folks, that happens again. Giannis is out. Stars hang with stars. Winners hang with winners. He's not sticking around in Milwaukee with Chris Middleton, who's a nice kid and a 20-a-night regular season player. But you get to the postseason, Boston plays defense and gets physical. Toronto plays defense and gets physical. Okay, Philadelphia's got size and can be physical. Get ready for it, Milwaukee. This rumor, Golden State can offer perhaps the number one pick, another lottery pick, and Andrew Wiggins' salary matches up. And right now, never forget this. This is why, and this will change the league. Giannis will go from Chris Middleton's my number two to Steph is my number two, Clay is my number three, and Draymond is my number four. That is a five-year dynasty. That is, you don't want any part of that. That would go down as potentially, that would rival Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen's Bulls. That one you'd be like, okay, they shoot better than the Bulls, they're better inside than the Bulls, and they got a great coach. That would be an all-time team. And Giannis knows it, and don't kid yourself. The timing is perfect. Think about this. LeBron has left the East. This is why Milwaukee has to win now. They have to win the East. LeBron left the East. Kawhi left the East. The Sixers are gifted but dysfunctional. KD this year is hurt. This is the year.
Except it wasn't. The Bucks, as we all know by now, got bounced in the second round, of course. But the Warriors' rumors haven't stopped. I joined my friend Bonte Hill on his show on 95.7 The Game in San Francisco on June 8th to try to dampen, as much as I could, Warriors fans' enthusiasms about them salivating over Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Doug, it's been too long. I don't think I've talked to you since the Niners beat the brakes off the Green Bay Packers, but we can say that for another conversation. Giannis for Klay Thompson. Why would the Milwaukee Bucks do something like that?
They won't. They're not going to. Where is this coming from? I know that Colin Cowherd put it out there. By the way, hi, Bonte. It's good to talk to you again. It has been too long, and we're still smarting from that. And it was just January, but it seems like it was about 12 years ago. That's neither here nor there. I don't know where this all came from. I know that Colin Cowherd kind of threw out the Andrew Wiggins and a couple of lottery picks for Giannis a few months ago, and I thought that was nonsense. Klay Thompson is a great player. I got nothing but love for Klay Thompson. But why would the Bucks make that trade when Giannis Antetokounmpo is the best player in the world right now? That's what, for me, and I think most Bucks fans, that's the disconnect. Even though he's still a year and however long away from free agency, whenever the official free agency period hits, because the calendar's all goofed up now. It doesn't make any sense to us.
Doug, is there any so Giannis is the best player in the NBA. What if he gives an indication to the Bucks that he's not going to re-sign, what happens then?
First of all, that's wild speculation. Okay, the Bucks have the best record in the NBA right now. They had the best record in the NBA a year ago. They came up a little bit short in the playoffs. That having been said, there's no reason for him to give that indication, but let's play. Okay, let's say he does that. Even if they do say, Giannis's team says to him, the guys at Octagon, Alex Serratos, his agent, says, you know what, Giannis is not going to re-sign with the Bucks. Number one, I think that's fantasy land. Number two, if I'm a Bucks fan, if I'm John Horst, if I'm the ownership group, I'm saying, okay, you're just going to ride it out then until you hit free agency, because if the Bucks trade Giannis Antetokounmpo, after going through what they've gone through over the last 40 years of complete irrelevancy in the NBA, after going through the Ray Allen trade from 2002 that was an absolute disaster, after going through all of that, Bucks fans will take their brand-new arena, Fiserv Forum, and burn it to the ground. Bucks fans have waited. Look, I think there's a lot of parallels between the Bucks today and where the Warriors were, and I think I said this on Twitter, maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago or so. I mean, the Golden State Warriors, a proud franchise, no question about it, but they were playing in an old building. They hadn't really been relevant. You know, they had some up and down years, but mostly irrelevancy from the 1970s to when Steph Curry and that group led by Steve Kerr on the bench became the best team in the world, right? And that's where the Bucks were. I mean, 30-plus years of complete irrelevancy with the exception of a pocket here, a pocket there, of decent teams. And now that they've gotten to this apex, they're not just going to give it up. It's just not going to happen. Bucks fans have waited too long for this, and the ownership group is smart enough to realize that.
Doug, I was just going to ask you, did you think Giannis was the best player in the league? And if not, how close was he? But it sounds like you giving your answer. We saw last year against Toronto in the playoffs, he didn't have his best series, talking about Giannis. And I'm wondering, how much pressure do you think is on Giannis once the league resumes this year to come out the East? And if he didn't, what that would do, you know, from a fan standpoint, to Giannis in Milwaukee?
Giannis is beloved in Milwaukee. I'll tackle it from the back first. They could build statues of Giannis, and fans would flock to it and genuflect and leave flowers every day. That is how well he is loved here, because when he was drafted, he was this 18-year-old kid. His English was broken at best. I was there. I was there the day that he was drafted and talked to him the day that he became a Milwaukee Buck, and he was just this fresh-faced, skinny, lanky, 6'9 kid who then just had a growth spurt and became the man that he is. But you got to understand, when Giannis moved to, you know, from Athens to Milwaukee, he brought his whole family with him as well. And his younger brothers, Kostas, who now plays for the Lakers, and Alex, who is just turning pro as well. He's going to play over in Europe before he's eligible for the NBA. I mean, they grew up here. They went to middle school here. Both Kostas and Alex started Dominican high school here. His parents moved here. His father unfortunately passed away a few years ago, but his mom is still here. He met up with a local girl named Mariah Riddlesprigger, and they have a son named Liam, and they're all from here as well. He's got roots here in Milwaukee. So was there pressure on Giannis from the fan standpoint? I think there's some anxiousness, but I don't think that there's pressure per se. But, you know, look, with Kawhi Leonard now in the Western Conference, the East seems like it's the Bucks to lose. And if the Bucks can't get out of the Eastern Conference, I don't know if it's pressure or if it's maybe a missed opportunity. And, you know, Giannis has to play his best. Chris Middleton has to play his best. Eric Bledsoe, who had a really poor playoff series last year, he has to play his best and not, you know, shrivel up like he did a season ago. So a lot of things have to fall into place. But as far as pressure itself, I mean, the fans are not going to turn on Giannis Antetokounmpo unless he leaves town with, you know, middle fingers extended on his way out when he leaves Wisconsin. But no, he's the most beloved guy in town.
Talking to Doug Russell, host on ESPN Milwaukee. Check him out there in Green Bay Packerland and Milwaukee Buckland. You're talking about Giannis and his playoff run, Doug. But I'm just wondering, because this Giannis to the Golden State Warriors rumor has been going on for about 2 years now, and it'll never die. My guy, Steiny and Guru, we talk about it, feels like every other week there's a Giannis rumor here. And it stems from Steph Curry and Giannis apparently having a good friendship. I know when Giannis came out here to the Chase Center, Steph Curry gave him a signed jersey, talked about it a little bit. But what do you hear on that end out there in Milwaukee when it comes to Steph Curry and Giannis Antetokounmpo? Is that a thing out there in Milwaukee where people feel like, boy, the relationship between Steph and Giannis could really make that thing happen?
Yeah, we'd love to see Steph in a Bucks uniform. It'd be awesome. I mean, he's fantastic here. What are you talking about? Look, it's a relatively speaking small agency. I mean, like, let's take a look at Drew Rosenhaus. He has just about every player in the NBA. Or if you're looking at Scott Boras, he's got every major player in Major League Baseball. That's not necessarily the case with Octagon. Obviously, their two best players are Giannis and Steph Curry. But, you know, there's the relationship that Giannis has with his brothers as well, and that supersedes any relationship that he has with anybody else. And his older brother, who I call the Giannis Whisperer, Thanasis, he's the guy who keeps Giannis in check more than anybody else. When Giannis had a bad game, for example, and, you know, he earlier in his career, if he'd get lazy on a play, Thanasis would be the first one to call him and yell at him. I mean, he's the one that really keeps him, you know, going. It keeps him, you know, level-headed and with his head on straight. And that's one of the reasons why I think you've seen Giannis flourish even more and have a better season this year than he had last year, because Thanasis is with him. And Thanasis, look, he can play, too. That was the surprise to me. I'm not sure why any other team in the NBA hasn't at least scooped him up to be a bench player, because he's been a pretty good role player for the Bucks in the limited amount of time that he's gotten on the bench. It's hard to get minutes on Mike Budenholzer's bench. But nevertheless, despite the relationship that Curry and Giannis have, I don't think that that's going to supersede a relationship that he has with the city of Milwaukee, the roots that he's put down here, and his brother, who's still under contract for another year and a half, too. So is it something to think about? Sure, but I think it's more talk show fodder, in my opinion, than it is anything else.
That's the hope, anyway. That was my conversation with Bonte Hill and his co-hosts on 95.7 The Game in San Francisco from this past June 8th. Giannis is a very smart young man. He hears what everyone is saying, and it is the loudest story right now in the NBA. So after a relentless pounding of the narrative that he has to leave, it's going to take its toll. And this narrative has continued with noted Bucks hater, former NBA player, and now ESPN analyst Ryan Hollins. He was a guest of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio recently.
Does Giannis Antetokounmpo take the Supermax from Milwaukee?
Nah, fam, it's about time for him to move on. You know, he's been paid already. I don't think it's about the money. If I had a wish list put together, the number one on my wish list is Golden State trades that second overall pick and something else, and Draymond Green possibly, and you see him with the Warriors. You want the Warriors to come out and compete. You know, everybody was
we don't like super teams. We don't like super teams. Well, guess what? Basketball was boring without the super teams, okay? I would like to see Giannis Antetokounmpo with the Warriors. I think it would be big. I know from playing against Giannis, he's a guy who's absolutely dominant, getting downhill. He has grown and flourished. And if you could have someone stretching the floor like Stephen Clay, maybe, and Giannis working the insides, and then them teaching and preaching to Giannis how to play and how to win and how to be successful, I think that is intriguing. And LeBron and the Lakers would have to watch out, boy, if that matchup came to fruition.
I'm not fully against super teams, but I thought this year was a whole lot of fun with the dynamic duos. You don't like the dynamic duos? That's what you're telling me?
I don't like them, man. They let me down. And at the end of the day, we really just had two super teams. It was the Clippers and it was the Lakers. And that's all we talked about. And when we talked about another team winning the championship, you know, me and you both didn't believe in it. We didn't really think about it. When they're like, yo, the Miami Heat are going to compete in the championship against LeBron. And we're like, eh, meh. When they're like, Denver's playing the Lakers in the Western Conference, we're like, meh. We don't know, gentlemen, sweet. You know, the Boston Celtics going all the way. We didn't quite believe. We knew it was LeBron and Kawhi. And unfortunately, this may be, you know, if we're fortunate, a 3- or 4-team league. You know, we try to spice things up and talk about the Toronto Raptors coming out or somebody like that, but it's a star-driven league, so these boys got to team up, man. Come on, baby. That's what it's about.
There is so much to unpack there. I will leave it at this as my blood pressure goes up just listening to that. I am offended that an NBA analyst can't see small market teams as anything but bumps in the road to fill out the large market teams' schedules. If you're going to tell me that my team has zero chance to ever win a championship, I'm out. Why would anyone cheer for a team that literally has no hope? That is a dangerous narrative, not just in the NBA. That is a dangerous narrative in sports. The most successful franchise in the NFL, for example, lives in a town of less than 100,000 people, or around 100,000 people, the Green Bay Packers. Fans make pilgrimages from all over the world to Lambeau Field to watch the Green Bay Packers play football. I've seen it. I've seen visitors to our country come over from Europe, Australia, Asia, with tears in their eyes when they first see the green expanse of Lambeau Field that they've seen on their television sets and in pictures for decades. The Green Bay Packers are a worldwide brand in a sport that is not a worldwide sport. The NBA is a worldwide sport. And to think that, well, it's just Milwaukee, or it's just Minnesota, or it's just Indiana, or it's just Oklahoma City. These franchises, these cities, these fans don't matter. Yeah, that offends me as someone who has grown up in a small market for sports in Milwaukee. So a lot to unpack there. The Bucks, though, they do have hope. And again, in this era of the internet making the world as small as a cell phone screen, market size doesn't matter a fraction as much as it used to. When more franchises are relevant, the NBA is better off for it. So I completely disagree with Ryan Holland's take. Moving along. A couple of weeks ago, Giannis met with Bucks top-level management, ownership, and general manager John Horst. The message, according to reports, let's make some moves. This is Giannis speaking. Let's make some moves to fortify this roster. I love it here, but I also need more help than what I've been given. And I think that's fair. And John Horst, he's no dummy either. He knows what he has to do, and he's been given the green light to spend money to make it happen. Now, the first, and this was in rapid succession, so on Monday night, the Bucks agreed to trade George Hill, Eric Bledsoe, 3 first-round picks, and 2 pick swaps to the New Orleans Pelicans for Drew Holiday. Then the Bucks agreed to a sign-and-trade deal with the Sacramento Kings. They get sharpshooter Bogdan Bogdanovic for Dante DiVincenzo, Ersan Ilyasova, and DJ Wilson. Giannis spoke, the Bucks listened, but even after that, for some, it wasn't enough, like longtime NBA analyst Chris Broussard.
All right, the Milwaukee Bucks, in an effort to win a championship and keep Giannis Antetokounmpo, acquire Drew Holiday and Bogdan Bogdanovic. They give up George Hill, Dante DiVincenzo, and some other role players and assets. I like the trade for the Bucks. It makes them better, but it is not a great enough trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo, in my opinion, to sign on long term. Now, if Giannis loves Milwaukee, never wanted to leave, and is willing to stay there, win or not, as far as championships, then by all means sign, and I'd applaud him for doing what makes him happy. But if he has an inkling of a doubt, and if he feels like if we're not capable of winning a title, I got to go elsewhere, this is not the move that removes those doubts. So keep your options open, Giannis. Keep them open. And do not believe those that would tell you, oh, this year's going to be a distraction if you're a free agent. No, LeBron played twice, Cleveland and Miami, on the last years of deals and limited the distraction. Kawhi Leonard did it in Toronto and won a championship. Kyrie Irving did it in Boston, and the distractions weren't related to his free agency. It was all types of other stuff. So it can be done if you go out there, show that your heart is all in this season, winning a title. It won't be a distraction because people will see you trying to win now. So that's what I do if I'm Giannis. Now, Milwaukee, yeah, of course they want him to sign now. But even if he doesn't, I wouldn't trade him. I wouldn't just say, let's move him and get what we can for him, because you're going to be at their mercy, at Giannis's mercy, because he can tell you where he wants to go. And as a free agent, upcoming free agent, he can limit the market. But if you're Milwaukee, look, go for it. You haven't won a ring since 1971. You don't have the luxury of saying, oh, let's just trade Giannis and not go for the ring. Go for the championship. And if he leaves, hey, you try. All right, you small markets get people like Giannis, Cleveland, getting LeBron kind of once in a lifetime. So go for the gusto if you're the Milwaukee Bucks. Look, the deal's nice. Drew Holiday can shoot it. So can Bogdanovic. Both can make plays off the dribble. Drew can create for other players. He's arguably the best defensive guard in the league. He's high character. He's a veteran. So now if Giannis struggles at times in the playoffs, you have more than Chris Middleton to go to. You got Bogdanovic and Drew Holiday. So again, it makes them better. Not the type of blockbuster move that puts them atop the East necessarily on paper. Brooklyn clearly, even without James Harden, is atop the East on paper. But it makes Milwaukee better. And they are a team that could get to the finals and could win it all.
Which is all you can really ask for. Sports shouldn't be guaranteed. Titles, rings, trophies. They all have to be earned. But you should also have a shot at them, even in small markets, if you make the right decisions. I said for years on the radio, the Bucks needed to get lucky because they weren't creating their own luck at the time. They played in an old arena. They played, in a terribly dilapidated facility at the Cousins Center. And yes, Milwaukee does have some inherent disadvantages. It is a small city. It is a northern city that's cold during the basketball season. And that puts them at a disadvantage to Miami. Look, NBA players are young and they're rich and they want to go out and they want to have a good time during their off hours. And I don't blame them for that. Milwaukee does not have what Miami has, or Los Angeles, or even Chicago. Chicago and Milwaukee have similar weather. Chicago's nightlife is not what Milwaukee's is. That's fact. Sorry. So Milwaukee has to deal with that, and those are things that you're never going to get back. But one of the things that the Bucks can do is they can improve what they can control. They can't control the nightlife. They can't control the weather. They can control the roster. They can control, to a certain extent, the roster. But what has to come first? It's one of those, does the chicken come first or does the egg come first? Well, in this case, you had to build a facility and facilities that would entice players, because the Cousins Center wasn't bringing anybody in and the Bradley Center wasn't bringing any free agents by. But the new practice facility can. It is state of the art. It is as good as anyone's in the NBA. Fiserv Forum is as good of an arena for the players as any in the NBA. The backstage locker room lounge areas. You can do much more with nutrition, for example. You can give the players amenities that players want nowadays in the NBA, which you couldn't do at the Bradley Center because they didn't have the space for it at the Bradley Center or at the Cousins Center where they practiced. So that's been the big game changer. Chris Broussard went, you know, look, the Bucks on paper aren't the best team in the East. Well, on paper, the Heat weren't the best team in the East last season, but they earned a trip to the finals. That's how this goes. No matter what happens, though, it has been a fun ride watching the ascension of Giannis Antetokounmpo, an ascension that started in the summer of 2013.
It wasn't a moment that many Bucks fans had anticipated, but it was one that David Stern had to have been dreading.
With the 15th pick in the 2013 NBA draft, the Milwaukee Bucks select Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Come again?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
It's a difficult name to pronounce, even for the man who drafted the newest Milwaukee Buck.
After the draft, probably 11:30, I said to Dan Smicek, I said, Dan, can you forward that pronunciation to me? Yeah, so we're doing our best.
But here he is.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
What, you didn't think I was going to try to tackle that yet, did you? Nevertheless, he is the newest Milwaukee Buck, and a total blank slate. Someone that fans will probably take the cue from the rest of us and just call him...
Giannis?
Yeah, I think I can handle that. So, Giannis,
Antetokounmpo.
Thanks. We'll just stick with Giannis for now. Baby steps. Giannis, a virtual unknown with a lot of learning, but a ton of potential, say the scouts, in an NBA draft from last week that was said to be short on stars. Giannis is just 18, the youngest player in the draft, and until a couple of weeks ago, had never left the homeland that his parents immigrated to, Greece.
This is my first time in the United States. I feel very excited to be in the United States, see New York, and I'm very happy.
And he should be, considering that he can finally provide a way for his family to escape the poor neighborhood that he and his brothers grew up in back home in Athens. But it is a fair question. How can anyone be expected to handle such a radical culture shock and then go to work and do his job?
It's difficult. It's very, very difficult, you know, Doug. And I don't want to keep saying the basketball, being on the floor between the lines is the easy part, but to a certain extent it will be. It's can he handle everything else that goes along with, you know, getting to the floor.
That's Bucks general manager John Hammond. One of the things that Giannis has already undertaken is trying to learn as much English as he can. He's only been speaking the language for about a year.
I don't know many things, but I'm going to learn everything, you know. Day by day, I'm going to learn everything. When I come here in Milwaukee, with my family, we're going to learn everything.
Which is an important reason Giannis was drafted in the first place. What Hammond saw on a scouting trip that didn't have anything to do with his skills on the court.
He's practicing with his brother on the same team, and he has two other little brothers running around the gym. And you can see this small gym that was their club gym in Athens. It was their home. And next thing you know, on day two, I look up and I see the mother and father sitting in the stands. I just thought, man, like, what a neat family group they have. And I can see the love that he has for his brother and his brother for him.
And they'll all be coming to America, and not just for basketball.
We're going to have a better life, you know. It's coming here from Greece. My brother will go better school.
And then they'll help Giannis adjust to life in the NBA and life in their new home. Here in Milwaukee, with the Bucks, I'm Doug Russell, WTMJ Sports.
That's it for the show. Of course, we have a new website address, DougRussellPod.com. Check us out there. Still, you can find us on our socials, Twitter and Instagram, at Doug Russell Pod. Facebook and YouTube, search for the Doug Russell Podcast. And you can email us, DougRussellPod@gmail.com. Coming up on Friday, we'll preview the weekend in football. Both the Badgers and Packers have tough games at Northwestern and Indianapolis, respectively. We'll put you in the know before your weekend starts right here on the Doug Russell Podcast. We'll see you then.